Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Can you name a famous person who is blind? I bet you can. Helen Keller, Louis Braille, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, well, even Homer. But looking back through history, there have been many other very interesting famous people who had some kind of visual impairment. In this program, you will hear about many of those people. I am going to warn you, though, I'm going to sort of pick and choose from this list and leave off some of the most familiar ones, the ones that we just mentioned. The article came from a company called BrailleWorks, and the headline reads, Famous People with Vision Impairment. And for the purpose of this list, they define blindness as following. Blindness is the condition of lacking visual perception due to physiological and or neurological factors. Complete blindness is the total lack of form and light perception and is clinically recorded as no light perception or NLP. Eye injuries, mostly occurring in people under the age of 30, are the leading cause of monocular blindness, that's vision in one eye. In this list are historically famous people with visual impairments, including total blindness, certain sight conditions, or blindness in one eye. And as I said, I think I will just sort of claim an editor's privilege and pick and choose as I go through the list. We'll browse. I admit that I'll leave out some of the more commonly known blind people. The first one that I questioned, I really wondered about this because I hadn't heard about this one. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They say he lived from 1882 to 1945. Roosevelt, sometimes better known as FDR, was the 32nd president of the United States of America and played a big role during World War II. Roosevelt eventually aided the poor and unemployed of America and restored order at various times during his presidency. Elected to four more terms in office, he served from 1933 to 1945 and is the only U.S. president to have served more than two terms, mostly because of his help in the recovery of the economy. Now, all they say in this article from BrailleWorks is that it has been said that Roosevelt had several disabilities, including vision impairment. No more details were given. The next person, Galileo Galilei. He lived from 1594 to 1642. Galileo Galilei was a Tuscan or Italian astronomer, mathematician, physicist, and philosopher. He was greatly responsible for the scientific revolution. Some of his accomplishments include improvements to the telescope, accelerated motion, and astronomical observations. Galileo was the first to develop the four largest, or first to discover the four largest moons of Jupiter, which were named the Galilean moons in his honor. Galileo also had improved compass design and eventually opposed the geocentric view. His sight started to deteriorate at the age of 68 years old, and it eventually led to complete blindness. Next, we have Dr. Abraham Nemeth, N-E-M-E-T-H, Nemeth, Dr. Nemeth. He lived from 1918 to 2013. Dr. Nemeth was an American mathematician and inventor. He was professor of mathematics at the University of Detroit in Detroit, Michigan. Though his employers were sometimes reluctant to hire him, knowing that he was blind, his reputation grew as it became apparent that he was a capable mathematician and teacher. He developed the Nemeth Braille code for mathematics and science notation. He did this in 1952. The Nemeth code has gone through four revisions since its initial development, and it continues in wide use today. This is the code for mathematics and science notation. Dr. Nemeth is also responsible for the rules of what's called math speak. A system for orally communicating mathematical text. Dr. Nemeth is an active member of the National Federation of the Blind. He has written several short stories and made many speeches for the National Federation of the Blind about his life as a blind mathematician. And once again, he died in the fall of 2013. Next, James Thurber. James Thurber lived from 1894 to 1961. He was a comedian and cartoonist, most known for his contributions to the New Yorker magazine. Thurber, James Thurber, had two brothers, William and Robert. Once, while playing a game, William shot James in the eye with an arrow. Because of the lack of medical technology, Thurber lost his eye. This injury would later cause him to be almost entirely blind. During his childhood, he was unable to participate in sports and activities because of his injury, and instead, he developed a creative imagination, which he shared in his writings and his work. Next, Alec Templeton. He lived from 1909 to 1963. Alec Templeton was a composer, pianist, and satirist. Blind from birth, he studied at London's Royal Academy. In 1936, he moved from Wales to the United States as a member of Jack Hylton's jazz band. He played in that band with a number of, he played at that time with a number of orchestras and gave his first radio performance on the Rudy Valley show called The Chase and Sanborn Hour. He also played on the Kraft Music Hall, and he played what's called the Magic Key. His radio program, called Alec Templeton Time, sponsored by Alka-Seltzer, was first broadcast from 1939 to 1941. It returned in 1943 and also again in 1946 and 47. It was sometimes known as the Alec Templeton Show. He memorized the scripts for his shows by having them read to him 20 times. There is some confusion regarding Alec Templeton's year of birth. Most published and internet biographies give his birth year as 1909, but his headstone shows 1910 as his year of birth. So he died at the age of either 52 or maybe 53. He is interred at the Putnam Cemetery in Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, Claude Monet. He lived from 1840 to 1926. Claude Monet was one of the founders of the French Impressionist painting movement and the most consistent and prolific practitioner of the movement's philosophy of expressing one's perceptions before nature, especially as applied to plein air landscape painting. The term Impressionism is derived from the title of his painting, Impression, Sunrise. His popularity and fame grew when by 1907 he had painted many well-known paintings, but by then he had what he called his first problem with his eyesight. He started to go blind. He still painted, though his eyes got worse. He wouldn't stop painting until he was nearly blind. In the last decade of his life, Monet, nearly blind, painted a large group of water lilies. Now, I don't know, with a comment from me here, many years ago there was an exhibit that I went to in Buffalo that actually showed the progression of his vision declining with some of the paintings that they exhibited. It was a very, very impressive impressionist exhibit, if you'll excuse that pun. Claude Monet, living from the late 1840s, early 1900s. Next, you may have heard him, Andrea Bocelli. He's one of my favorites. He was born in 1958, and he's still living. Andrea is an Italian tenor and has recorded over 20 pop and classical albums, as well as 7 complete operas. He has sold over 65 million albums worldwide. It was evident at birth that he had problems with his sight. After many visits to many doctors, Bocelli was diagnosed with glaucoma. In 1970, at the age of 12, he completely lost his sight after an accident during a soccer game. As a young boy, Bocelli showed a great passion for music. At the age of 6, he started piano lessons before he also learned to play the flute, saxophone, trumpet, trombone, harp, guitar, and drums. Bocelli once said, "I don't think a singer decides to sing. It's the others who choose that you sing by their reactions." Bocelli has sung with other great singers such as Pavarotti and has only been further admired because of his blindness. Next, we come to Joseph Pulitzer. He lived from 1847 to 1911. Joseph Pulitzer was a Hungarian-American publisher best known for posthumously publishing or establishing the Pulitzer Prizes. He did this, this was done along with the support of William Randolph Hearst. He was also known for originating the term and the practice of yellow journalism. In 1882, Pulitzer purchased the New York World, a newspaper that had been losing $40,000 a year. He purchased the newspaper, the New York World, for $346,000 from Jay Gould. Pulitzer shifted its focus to human interest stories, scandal, and sensationalism, yellow journalism. At the age of 42, Joseph Pulitzer became blind due to retinal detachment, leaving him no choice but to retire. Next, we have Horatio Nelson. He lived from 1758 to 1805. Horatio Nelson was a British flag officer famous for his service in the Royal Navy, particularly during the Napoleonic Wars. Nelson was born into a moderately prosperous family, joined the Navy through the influence of his uncle, Maurice Suckling. He rose rapidly through the ranks and served with leading naval commanders of the period before he obtained his own command in 1778. He developed a reputation in the service through his personal valor and firm grasp of tactics, but he suffered periods of illness and unemployment after the end of the American War for Independence. The outbreak of the French Revolutionary Wars allowed Nelson to return to service, where he was particularly active in the Mediterranean. He was wounded several times in combat, losing most of one arm and the sight in one eye. He won several victories, including the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, during which he was killed. His death at Trafalgar secured his position as one of England's most heroic figures. Next, we have a woman called Maria Runyon. She was born in 1969 and is still living. Marla Runyon. Marla Runyon is a marathon runner who was legally blind. She is a three-time national champion in the women's 5,000 meters. Runyon's career as a world-class runner began in 1999 at the Pan American Games, where she won the 1,500-meter race. The next year, she placed eighth in the 1,500-meter in the 2000 Sydney Olympics, making Runyon the first legally blind athlete to complete in the Games and the highest finish by an American woman in that event. In 2002, she finished as the top American at the 2002 New York City Marathon with a time of 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 10 seconds. This was the second fastest debut time ever by an American woman, Marla Runyon. Next, we have Thomas Gore, G-O-R-E. He was born in 1870 and died in 1949. Thomas Gore was a Democratic politician. He became blind as a child through two separate accidents, but did not give up his dream of becoming a senator. In 1907, he was elected to the Senate as one of the first two senators from the brand new state of Oklahoma. He was reelected in 1908 and 1914, but he was defeated in 1920. He was known as a member of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, who worked with Republicans such as Robert La Follette. He was to a large extent no different from any other politician because of his blindness, but there were problems, as La Follette recounts an example in his memoirs when, during a filibuster, Thomas Gore, did not realize that the senator who was to take over speaking for him had left the room, and the filibuster failed because Thomas Gore did not continue to speak. Next, we come to someone called William Prescott. Now, this doesn't say exactly why he was considered visually impaired, but he's an interesting person. He lived from 1726 to 1795. William Prescott was an American colonel in the Revolutionary War. He commanded the rebel forces in the Battle of Bunker Hill. Prescott became widely attributed for the famous quote, "Do not fire until you see the whites of their eyes." This is an important instruction to his soldiers in order to conserve ammunition. The former town of Prescott, Massachusetts, was named in his honor. The town was disincorporated in 1938 because it became part of the Quabbin Reservoir, and the land now makes up what's called the Prescott Peninsula, which divides the main branches of the reservoir. Prescott's likeness was made into a statue for a memorial for the Battle of Bunker Hill. Next person is called Joseph Plateau. He lived from 1801 to 1883. His last name is spelled just like that land characteristic, Plateau, P-L-A-T-E-A-U. Joseph Plateau was a Belgian physicist. In 1836, Plateau invented an early stroboscopic device. It's called the phenakistoscope, I think. Phenakistoscope, that's what it sounds like. This consisted of two discs, one with small equidistant radial windows through which the viewer could look, and another one contained a sequence of images. When the two discs rotated at the correct speed, the synchronization of the windows along with the images created an animated effect. The projection of stroboscopic photographs creating the illusion of motion eventually led to the development of cinema, movies. Now, a note from me here, I've used one of these devices at the George Eastman Museum in Rochester, New York. They're actually like two revolving cylinders is how I would best describe them, with the slots cut in the outer cylinder, and the picture, the one at the George Eastman House, is of a horse, pictures along the inner rotating disc. And it does look like the horse is galloping along. It's called a stroboscopic photograph, stroboscope maybe. So, fascinated by the persistence of luminous impressions on the retina, this is the end of the story of Joseph Plateau, he performed an experiment in which he gazed directly into the sun for 25 seconds. Consequently, he lost his eyesight later in his life, Joseph Plateau. Next, we come to someone named Esref Armagan. Born in 1953 and still living at the present time, Esref is a blind painter of Turkish origin. Esref Armagan was born both unsighted and to an impoverished family. He's a blind painter. As a child and young adult, he never received any formal schooling or training. However, he taught himself to write and print. Mr. Armagan is an important figure in the history of picture making and in the history of knowledge. His work is remarkable. He has demonstrated for the first time that a blind person can develop on his or own pictorial skills, equaling most depictions by the sighted. This had not happened before in the history of picture making. He has had exhibitions in Turkey, Holland, and the Czech Republic. In 2004, he was the subject of a study of human perception conducted by the psychologist John Kennedy from the University of Toronto. And that was Esref Armagan. Next, we have John Stanley, who lived from 1712 to 1786. John Stanley was an English composer and organist who was blind from an early age. He studied music with Maurice Green, and he held a number of organist appointments in London, such as at St. Andrew's, Holborn, from 1726. He was a friend of George Frederick Handel, and following Handel's death, John Stanley joined first with John Christopher Smith and later with Thomas Linley to continue the series of oratorial concerts that Handel had started, and succeeded him as governor of the Foundling Hospital. Next, we have a man who's named Thomas Rhodes Armitage. He lived from 1824 to 1890. Thomas was a British physician and founder of the Royal National Institute of Blind People. He was born in Sussex, England, into a family of wealthy Yorkshire industrialists. He was raised in France and in Frankfurt and Offenbach in Germany. He attended the Sorbonne and King's College in London. He became a physician, practicing at Marylebone Dispensary in the Crimean War and as a private consultant in London. He was forced to abandon his medical career because of deteriorating vision, eventually becoming blind. Armitage decided to help make literature available to blind people through embossed type. He formed what's called the British and Foreign Society for Improving the Embossed Literature of the Blind. And later he formed the British and Foreign Blind Association for Promoting the Education and Employment of the Blind. And then, after his death, it was renamed the National Institute for the Blind. This group decided to adopt the system of Louis Braille, and Armitage worked tirelessly for the adoption of Braille. Thomas Rhodes Armitage. Next, we have a person called Rahsaan Roland Kirk. He lived from 1936 to 1977. Rahsaan was an American jazz multi-instrumentalist, playing tenor saxophone, flute, and other reed instruments. He was perhaps best known for his vitality on stage, where virtuoso improvisation was accompanied by comic banter, political ranting, and his famous ability to play a number of instruments simultaneously. Rahsaan Roland Kirk was also very political, using the stage to talk on black history, civil rights, and other issues, which he was always capable of tipping over into high comedy. He went blind at an early age due to poor medical treatment. Next, we have Matilda Ann Aston, who lived from 1873 to 1947. She was better known as Tilly Aston. She was a blind Australian writer and teacher. She founded the Victorian Association of Braille Writers, later went on to establish the Association for the Advancement of the Blind, with herself as secretary. She is remembered for her achievements in promoting the rights of visually impaired people. Aston, again from Australia, was also a prolific writer, particularly of poetry, and she also did prose sketches, though her writing was often interrupted by her teaching and her other activities. Next, Leonard Euler. His last name is spelled E-U-L-E-R. He lived from 1707 to 1783. Leonard was a pioneering Swiss mathematician and physicist who spent most of his life in Russia and Germany. Euler made important discoveries in fields as diverse as calculus and graph theory. He also introduced much of the modern mathematical terminology and notation, particularly for mathematical analysis, such as the notation of a mathematical function. He is also renowned for his work in mechanics, optics, and astronomy. Euler's left eye became blind from cataract and suffered from eye strain caused by a strong fever that he had back in 1735. This was Leonard Euler. Next, we have Susan Townsend. She was born in 1946 and is still living. Susan Townsend is an English novelist and playwright, best known as the author of the Adrian Mole books. Her writing often combines comedy with social commentary, though she has written purely dramatic works as well. Townsend has suffered from diabetes for many years, as a result of which she was registered blind in the year 2001, and she has woven this theme into her work. On February 25th in 2009, the Leicester City Council announced that Susan Townsend was given the Honorary Freedom of Leicester Award. Next, we have someone called William Samuel McTell. Lived from 1898 to 1959. He was better known as Blind Willie McTell. He was an influential American blues singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He was a 12-string finger-picking Piedmont blues guitarist. He recorded 149 songs between 1927 and 1956. His birth name was William Samuel McTeer. He was born in Thompson, Georgia. He was born blind in one eye. His current name, or his more popular name, McTell, lost his remaining vision by late childhood, but he became an adept reader of Braille. He showed proficiency in music from an early age and learned to play the six-string guitar as soon as he could. A blues festival in McTell's honor is held annually in his birthplace, Thompson, Georgia. He was inducted into the Blues Foundation Hall of Fame in 1981. Next, we have Clarence Carter. He was born in 1936. He's still living. Clarence Carter is a blind American soul singer and musician. He was born in Montgomery, Alabama. He attended the Alabama School for the Blind in Talladega, and he also attended the Alabama State College in Montgomery, graduated in August of 1960 with a Bachelor of Science degree in music. Next, we have someone who's called Dr. Jacob Bolotin, B-O-L-O-T-I-N. He lived from 1988 to 1924. He was born to a poor immigrant family in Chicago. Jacob Bolotin fought prejudice and misconceptions about the capabilities of blind people in order to win acceptance to medical school and then entry into the medical profession. He was one of the most respected physicians in Chicago in the early 20th century. He was particularly well known for his expertise on diseases of the heart and lungs. Dr. Jacob Bolotin was the first man born totally blind to become fully licensed to practice medicine. And then we have Richard Bernstein. He's an American lawyer practicing at the law offices of Sam Bernstein. He is an adjunct professor at the University of Michigan and served on the Wayne State University Board of Governors. Bernstein has been classified as legally blind since birth as a result of retinitis pigmentosa. Richard Bernstein is also an avid runner and advocate for disability rights. And we will end with a nod to those of us who are listening from New York State. David Alexander Patterson, he was born in 1954 and he is still living. He's an American politician and the former governor of New York. He is the first African-American governor of New York and the second legally blind governor of any U.S. state. And this is after Bob Riley, who was governor of Arkansas for just 11 days in 1975. David Alexander Patterson, at the age of 3 months, he contracted an ear infection, which spread to his optic nerve, leaving him with no sight in his left eye and severely limited vision in his right eye. Well, to end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. Fame has only the span of a day, they say, but to live in the hearts of people, that is worth something. This was said by Ouida. It's spelled O-U-I-D-A, Ouida. Ouida lived from 1839 to 1908. Ouida is the pseudonym of the English novelist Maria Louise Ramey. She was born in Borough St. Edmunds in England. And I'd like to share what she wrote about this little town of her birthplace. She said, "That clean, quiet, antiquated town that always puts me in the mind of an old maid dressed for a party. That lowest and dreariest of boroughs, where the streets are as full of grass as an acre of pasture land. Why, the inhabitants are driven to ringing their own doorbells, lest they rust from lack of use." Wow, how descriptive. This was written by the English novelist Ouida. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.